This month of May, we have been focused on the messages of Peter the Apostle, really what I call the Peter's way of life. And we continue in the first epistle of Peter, the third chapter. Today's reading begins at verse 13. You can find that on page 1222 in the Bibles in front of you in the pew racks, page 1222. Hear God's word. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteousness. To bring you to God, he was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that what we hear with our ears, understand with our minds, and receive with our hearts, we may show forth in our lives, and that what we have learned by your grace, we may use to your glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Ron Walters recently wrote, "English is the most bizarre and confusing language in the world. It's a wonder anyone can understand it. For example, the plural of moose is moose, while the plural of goose is geese, and the plural of mongoose is mongooses. E-W-E and Y-O-U are pronounced the very same, but they don't share any letters in common. The longest word with non-duplicated letters is uncopyrightable." It's an interesting trivia. I never knew that. The most commonly written word is, any guesses? The most commonly spoken word is I. And if that's not enough, certain wordsmiths play mind-boggling games to confuse us even more with palindromes. If you're unfamiliar with that word, a palindrome is a word that reads the same forward or backward, like our associate Bob, who I pointed to this morning. And someone remarked, "Does that mean Bob doesn't know whether he's coming or going?" And I said, "No, I didn't imply that." Kayak, race car are palindromes. As well as a word, a sentence can be a palindrome. You'd have to kind of write this one out to really catch it, to see it. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama. If you write that out, you'll see it's the same forward and backward. I wonder who thinks up these verbal switchbacks. Who has that much time to even think about them? That's what I wonder. But palindromes date back a long time. 2,000 years. And in fact, cryptic forms of palindromes were used by the early Christians to send messages to one another so that the emperor couldn't catch them, especially emperors like Nero, who hoped to silence Christians The first century believers were determined to spread their message, to teach the saints to hold tightly to the teaching of Christ, and they did it sometimes with puzzles, with palindromes. We've come a long way during those two millennia. Today we have protected freedoms allowing us to gather for worship, to study God's word, and we have the same freedom to teach. We do not hide our message or veil its truth. Or do we? Ron Walters says, to be relevant and unique, there's a temptation to sacrifice content for creativity, doctrine for easy listening, the permanent on the altar of the immediate. But nothing on God's green earth is more relevant than the Word of God. The further our teaching strays from Scripture, the less its power, and the more veiled it becomes to those who are perishing. That's why in the Scriptures, we have very clear commission for all Christians. Here's just a few of them. There are many, many more, too many for me to list. But Paul to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Then there's Paul to the Ephesians, a very brief one that you've heard before, speak the truth in love. And then there's Peter to God's elect, which is part of the epistle we read this morning, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Have you noticed that Peter talks a lot about hope? He mentions it often in this letter. And we might think, Peter, why don't you lighten up a little bit? Because you usually talk about hope in connection to suffering. In the midst of suffering, Peter encourages hope. Peter also asks this very good question, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Then he quickly adds, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. What planet is Peter living on? Well, I think he's being very realistic. He knows full well how much trouble the gospel can bring and how easily we can become discouraged through suffering and hardship. In fact, Peter himself had experienced a fair amount of suffering and hardship for the sake of Jesus Christ. Suffering's part of life. None of us get to escape it. But there's something different about suffering for the sake of the gospel, as Peter describes it. When you're suffering for doing good, for doing something that God has asked you to do, well, then there is a kind of different perspective on that suffering. We look at it differently. Sometimes it can make us feel as though life is terribly unfair. Sometimes in suffering, I can remember having very loud, strong conversations with God as a younger man. It seems that when life doesn't go easy for us, we begin to question God and we cry out to God and we ask, why is this coming into my life? What is this all about? Shouldn't life be fair? So when the cold reality of unfair treatment hits home, many of us react the way I did. We want to know why, and we sometimes question God. I would imagine there were times when Peter felt the same way. His responses to Jesus were so full of human frailty. Surely Peter had that same kind of moment with God when he questioned what was going on in his life, and he questioned God's purpose for him. And I'm not sure that any of us really get to avoid that in our lives. We all get hurt, and many times unfairly. And our first response is usually to defend ourselves, to defend our position, and to point the finger and blame someone else for this suffering. But this can't be the sum total of our reaction to suffering, because how we suffer says something to the world about the God who loves us. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Other people might be watching us. Oh, no. Other people are definitely watching us. Non-believers, people who want to know what God's purpose is for their lives. They may have trouble putting their questions into words, but if we listen carefully, we'll catch it. We'll know that they are wondering, and whether they say it out loud or whether they're just thinking it, how are you going through this difficulty, this suffering, without losing hope, without losing faith? People want to know that. I think it's interesting that Peter stresses the need to always be ready to give a defense when someone demands an accounting from us for the hope that is in us. And whether people are hostile toward Christianity or indifferent to it, whether they are curious and come seeking, or whether they're just sitting back and observing us, part of them will watch Christians suffer and express the hope that is within them and say, these folks are just out of their gourd. They're nuts. They are unhinged. Be ready for that, because people will think that you're crazy. Well, it doesn't matter if the question comes from someone honestly seeking or someone challenging your faith. The answer is the same. We must be ready to point to the presence of Jesus Christ, who is our hope in the midst of every kind of suffering, in the midst of every terrible thing that will ever happen to us. And we must do it in a way that doesn't turn people off, but encourages them to keep seeking the answers for themselves. Do it with gentleness and respect. If we listen to Peter's instruction, we know it doesn't matter how people approach us or react to us. We're not to become frustrated by their attitude or by our inability to get through to them. I really think that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So as long as we give our story, as long as we give our answer with gentleness and respect, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And if we don't, if we fly off the handle, if we offend someone in the process, then we just make the Holy Spirit's job a lot harder. That's why a gentle and reverent answer is important. Not so much even the language or the theological descriptions that we give, because what we're doing is pointing to God as the reason for every hope and promise that we cling to. Everything about what we say should invite people to come closer to God, not push them away. Suffering will always be a part of our lives. Each one of us then has a choice as to how we respond to that suffering and how we live in light of the suffering that comes our way. As people who follow Jesus, we've got to be able to stand in the midst of life as life really is and say clearly and loudly that the Lord we follow is a Lord of love and mercy. And no matter how tough it gets, He's not going to abandon us. It's easy to praise God when things are going well. Isn't that true? When everything's going marvelously, we say, thank you, God. But when things turn sour, if we can still praise God when our hearts are being torn apart by suffering or conflict, then we make a witness to the world that will not be forgotten. We must be able to say, even in grief and anger and pain, that this may not be what we want in life, but even so, we're going to keep on living life by faith and hope because God is with us. We trust in the willingness of God to catch all this up in suffering and pain, and in his merciful love, redeem what is going on in our lives and to bring some good out of it. And someday, by the grace of God, because God is present, we will even be able to say once again that life is good and life is worth living. But until we feel that, we must persevere in hope, knowing the faithfulness of the one we follow. As I read the New Testament, Jesus didn't give up on us at any point in time, so why should we give up on him? The death and resurrection of Jesus, I think, sent ripples out in time, both forward and backward, until nothing in all God's good creation was untouched by the awesome light of God's saving love. This is the story that we must declare. Even in the midst of pain and suffering, we're still to tell the story, the old, old story. Unfair suffering will come, but the people of God must be aware that how we live in our suffering says something about the God who loves us. How we speak of hope in the midst of our suffering is a powerful witness to those around us who are observing our lives. Therefore, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Gently and respectfully, tell someone else where the hope that you have has come from. And let's not forget that God's word is infinite in scope. God's word is complete in knowledge. God's word is entirely dependable. William Barclay once said that the most compelling argument for faith is not found in theology or in a book. It's found in the life of a Christian person. So go out today and make it easier for someone else to believe. Glory to God, both now and forever. Amen.